You're listening to Animal Tracks, brought to you by the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'm Michael Sanfilippo. November is National Pet Cancer Awareness Month. Cancer is the leading cause of death in older pets, accounting for almost half of the deaths of pets over 10 years of age. But recent developments in veterinary medicine have greatly increased the options available for treating pets with cancer. Joining me now to talk about cancer and its treatment in pets is Dr. Erica Crick, Assistant Professor of Oncology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Crick, welcome to Animal Tracks. We hear the term all the time. Everyone is familiar, of course, with the term cancer, but can you describe exactly what cancer is?
Sure. Cancer is primarily an accumulation of abnormal cells in the body. So the cells that are cancerous cells come from normal cells in the body that, for a variety of different reasons, undergo changes that make them grow more quickly than normal cells, make them less likely to die than normal cells, and also give them the ability to invade into tissues and sometimes go to other places in the body.
And what are some common cancers that we see in our pets? Is that similar to what we also see among people?
A lot of the cancers that we see in dogs and cats are similar to cancers in people, but there are some differences as far as what is more common, you know, in one species versus the other. In both dogs and cats, one of the most common types of cancers that we see is lymphoma. And lymphoma is a cancer of lymphocytes, which are a specific type of white blood cell. And in both dogs and cats, the disease presents a little bit differently. We also commonly in dogs, some of the other common cancers in dogs are mast cell tumors, which most commonly happen actually on the skin or just underneath the skin. Those are another cancer of primarily inflammatory cells that become cancerous. In dogs, we can also see sarcomas, which are cancers of the connective tissues of the body. So tissues like bone or a blood vessel or tissues that make up our fat and fibrous connective tissue in the body. In cats, in addition to lymphoma, which is pretty much the most common cancer we see in that species, we do see some carcinomas as well. And carcinomas are cancers of skin cells, gland cells, like breast cancer is commonly a carcinoma, and of cells that line different cavities in the body, like cells that line the inside of the mouth or the nose. And if they have cancer, those are typically carcinomas. So in cats, we can see some carcinomas of the mouth that are called squamous cell carcinomas. We can see breast cancer actually relatively commonly in not spayed females of both species.
What about treatment options for pets? If a dog or a cat has cancer, what sort of options are available then to treat that cancer?
The general, general treatment modalities are pretty similar in our pets and in people. And so those would be treatments such as surgical removal of the tumor, treatments such as radiation therapy directly targeted at the tumor itself, and chemotherapy, which most commonly is injected or ingested into the body and goes throughout the body to treat cancers that may have spread or cancers that are affecting multiple sites of the body. There certainly have been a lot of advances, certainly many more in human medicine recently than in veterinary medicine, to fine-tune these techniques. But they have been around, even for our pets, for a long, long time. Some of the early information about chemotherapy in our dogs and cats comes from like the 1970s.
And did that come directly from the human side, or is that sort of independent, what you learn for pets from the veterinary side?
Well, I think that there is a lot of borrowing of information back and forth. Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot of things that have been done in people we have looked at as a potential model really, for our patients. And it has worked the other way around as well. More commonly our dogs, but sometimes our cats, have actually been found to be really good models for cancers in people. And so treatments may be actually tried out in dogs, and then that information can actually be used to develop drugs for people. So it's a really nice kind of two-way street.
Right, so that would have a dual benefit. It's not just for the research, it's benefiting the pets as well as people.
Exactly.
What is the focus now, either at PenVet or the general research community, for developing new cancer treatments, either to target specific cancers or new techniques? I mean, what's being worked on?
Sure. I can speak primarily about what we have going on at PenVet, which is quite a few things, I'm happy to say. Some of the treatments that different people here have been looking at include a study that's been being done currently by one of our surgeons, where he is looking at a new technology for imaging tumors and lymph nodes that are nearby the tumors. A lot of cancers, they may start out as one solid primary tumor, but then they may spread commonly to the lymph nodes in the area. And so he is developing a technique and is working on a technique for actually imaging lymph nodes and other tissues at surgery. And because if that imaging can tell us if there are cancer cells there or not, they know right away in surgery, oh, should I remove this or not? Or should I take a wider margin or not? So that's been very exciting. One of our internists, who's also an immunologist, has also been looking at a vaccine for dogs with osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer. And by vaccine, I don't mean a preventative type thing like we usually think of vaccines. What I mean is what's called immunotherapy, which means stimulating the immune system, using that vaccine to stimulate the immune system to target cancer cells in the patient's own body. So that's been very promising as well. One other study that we have going on is, we have two studies in the hospital right now looking at a cancer in dogs called hemangiosarcoma. The primary cancer cell in dogs with that cancer are actually the cells that line the blood vessels. And so as you can imagine, that's a pretty aggressive cancer, and because many cancer cells spread through the blood, and if the cancer cells are already in the blood vessels, then they've already sort of gone halfway there to being able to spread very easily. So we have two different studies looking at medical therapies for that type of cancer. In addition to those studies that are just within our hospital, the PenVet Oncology Service is a member of a larger group called the Comparative Oncology Trials Consortium, or COTC, which is actually funded through the National Cancer Institute, the NCI. As a member of that, we participate in large-scale clinical trials for dogs with different types of cancer that are open through to several sites throughout the country. And we're currently participating in one of those now that's looking at a brand new drug for lymphoma in dogs. And we hope that this information will, the plan is actually for this information to directly inform human cancer studies.
How much do we know about what causes cancer in pets? Is it mostly genetic? Are there environmental factors? What's leading our pets to get cancer?
That is unfortunately still a difficult question to answer. We certainly suspect a genetic component to several of the cancers that we see. And, you know, unfortunately, probably many of the pet owners listening to this may have had particularly dogs that are of breeds that are some of the more common cancer offenders. And those are commonly our large breed dogs like Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, Boxers, you know, German Shepherds, those types of dogs do seem to be at higher risk of cancer than some other breeds. And so we do suspect a genetic component to that. But as far as I know, no one has necessarily specifically isolated, you know, the gene for the particular cancers that we see in those breeds. Mm-hmm. Environmental causes have been evaluated as well. One environmental cause that has been looked at quite a bit is the exposure to environmental pesticides and the potential link between that and the development of bladder cancer in dogs. There's some studies evaluating that. And then some studies have also shown that pets that are exposed to environmental tobacco smoke seem to have an increased risk of some cancers as well. But as you can imagine, those types of studies, just like in people, are very time-consuming, take many years to put together, and sometimes, although you may be able to show an association, it's very difficult to show causation. So you may be able to show, oh, you know, being exposed to tobacco smoke is associated with the risk of these cancers in our pets, but it's very difficult to prove that that actually is the end-all be-all cause for that cancer.
How is cancer diagnosed in pets?
I'll start answering that question by giving some additional warning signs of cancer in pets, just so everyone is aware. The warning signs that we usually give are, in addition to what you already said, you know, a lump or a mass, are wounds that don't heal, any sort of unexpected or new swelling that's not going away, and certainly signs of illness like weight loss that you can't really explain. You know, it seems that your pet is losing weight, but you haven't had them on a diet. Type thing, and certainly vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy. You know, all of these things can also be due to other causes, but they do sort of raise the index of suspicion for possible cancer as well. As far as diagnosing cancer, the primary way that we diagnose cancer is by getting a sample of those abnormal cells that I mentioned at the beginning and looking at them under a microscope. And by looking at them, we can tell oftentimes what type of tissue are they from, and that tells us what the cancer is. The most common ways that we obtain samples of those cells are either by taking what's called a fine needle aspirate. So if a dog or a cat comes in and has a lump, we poke a needle into that lump and can obtain some cells and look at them that way. If we need to get more tissue, we may take what's called a biopsy, so we would actually take a piece of that lump or even remove the entire thing and then submit that for a pathologist to examine. A lot of times owners ask me, are there blood tests for cancer in pets? And typically, unless we are dealing with a cancer that gets into that involves the blood or the bone marrow, which is the part of the body that makes the blood, and those would be diseases like sometimes lymphomas or leukemias, short of those, there's not really a lot of great blood tests that we can do to tell us if a pet has cancer or not. Mm-hmm. And the gold standard is really to, like I said, get a sample of those cells to really know with as much certainty as possible.
Well, Dr. Crick, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
For more tips on how to keep your pets happy, healthy, and safe, visit the AVMA's website at avma.org. For AVMA Animal Tracks, I'm Michael Sanfilippo. Thanks for listening and have a great day.